Thanks for leading us this morning. We appreciate you and appreciate the ministry that you have with us and before the Lord. Thanks, Rosa, for joining the team today for the first time. That's great. We appreciate you. Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's good. Well, this summer, we're taking the opportunity to consider together what we know as the Ten Commandments. I trust you may have heard of them. You may not be able to recite them, but at least you've heard of them. The question is, and that we've been looking at over the summer, is, are the Ten Commandments simply relics from the past, or are they actually relevant to us today? Are they simply relics from the past, or are they actually relevant to us today? If they are relevant, then we should not only know them, but we should also apply them to our lives. And so far, we've looked at 1 to 3. I believe there's a significant commandment, 1, 2, and 3. We had a little break in one of those weeks, as you may recall, but I believe there's a significant level of relevancy to apply to our lives. And so I want to remind ourselves today just what they're about, what we're considering. And so up on the screen, you will see the words that are written. Then God gave the people all these instructions. You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Wow. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath and set it apart as holy. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. The next one, honor your father and mother, then you will live long. I like that. You will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God has given you. You must not murder. Steve talked about that last week. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Lord, just do whatever you want this morning with your word. May it minister to our hearts wherever we're at. And you just speak to us the way you want. Amen. I want to float this question out today as we consider the fourth commandment that I had mentioned. In this crazy, time-strained world, might it be time for some of us to reclaim God's gift of a Sabbath rest? In this crazy, time-strained world, might it be time for some of us to reclaim God's gift of a Sabbath rest? Crazy is one way to describe the world that we live in. There may be, it may even be times when we feel like, I saw this, I wasn't watching it, but I happened to see it, and I thought we might even feel like, you know, that rabbit in Alice in Wonderland. Have you ever seen Alice in Wonderland? There's a rabbit, and he says things, he says, I'm late for a very important date, no time to say hello, goodbye, I'm late. You know, and I wonder if sometimes, some days, we feel just a little bit like that. It seems all too often that the hours of our days are filled with things that need doing, and we never seem to have enough time to do it all. I spoke with one of our Romanian brothers and sisters a couple weeks ago, and we were on the phone. And I said to him, I say, hey, Mano, how's your day? And he goes, well, at the beginning were issues to deal with. At the end of the day, several more issues popped up, and the first ones are still being dealt with. Ew. Yet how often true of our days? I mean, have you ever found yourself wishing for more hours in the day? Have you ever said, oh, if I just had one more day this week, just one more day, so that you could finally catch up and finish everything that you're supposed to do? You know, there's a saying, there's a whole bunch of sayings, but there's one that says, God put me on this earth to accomplish a certain number of things. Right now, I'm so far behind that I will never die. Yet we know that more time wouldn't do any good though, right? I mean, most of you probably know Murphy's Law. We mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. And some of us know about Newton's Law of Gravity. But how many of us are familiar with Parkinson's Law? Nothing to do with the disease. Parkinson's Law. Anybody know it? Well, here, let me tell you about it. It says this. It says, work expands so as to fill the time available for its completion. Reminded of this law a few weekends ago. Patty and I have had the opportunity to buy a little place, a trailer, to go and retreat to, and the kids were coming up for the weekend. The floor needed laying, the water needed hooking up so that we could use it. Believe me, when you try and hook up 1981 technology to today's technology, it's not so good. It's a little stressful. Every single job has something. And so it was like, okay, we have this deadline, we have to get this done. You know, if the kids hadn't been coming, I'm not sure if the water would be hooked up yet. But because that would just, work would expand into the time that we allowed for its completion. So regardless of how much time you had available, you still wouldn't have enough. And if you were granted your wish of having an extra day in each week, I'm sure your stress level would simply be added to. Because you would have one more day to try and jam too much into. Or simply drag out what you did have to do. You know, modern technology promised us that new conveniences would save us time and make our lives easier. But what happened was that new technology, it increased the pace of our work rather than reducing it, and it also addicted us to it. Even our kids are stressed out because there seems to be less time spent just being a kid, just playing and allowing imaginations to grow and develop, at least in some of the previous traditional ways. Not to mention the stress of sometimes our young people find in online situations. And it can become, I'm not saying it's bad or anything like that, and I'm generalizing here in some things, but it can become a never-ending circle that seems to escalate over time until finally, well, there just does not seem to be any time left. There just doesn't seem to be any more time. But you know what? That's not a new concept. This isn't new with our generation. It's not a new concept. In case we're blaming modern technology, let me tell you that in the 1800s, a guy named Henry Twells, an English poet, wrote this. When I was a child, I laughed and wept. Time crept. When I was a youth, I became more bold. Time strolled. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still, I daily grew. Time flew. Soon I shall find in passing on, time gone. And so it's into this often crazy, often rushed world that I'd like to just consider with you for a few minutes this morning, once again, the fourth commandment, which reads in Exodus 20, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons, daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Wow. Well, the Sabbath, a day of rest, seems to be a little archaic today in 2019, isn't it? Seems to be a little archaic now in this time that we live. I mean, you might even be thinking that was fine for back then when people didn't really have as much to do, right? As far to go. But for 2019, I mean, in 2019, we need every hour of every day and every day of the week to get done what we have to get done. Well, the fourth commandment wasn't given just for the people of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness. And it wasn't just given for Jesus and his disciples, and it wasn't just given for your grandparents. The fourth commandment, I would suggest to you today, is as valid today, as relevant today, as it was 30 years ago, as it was 200 years ago, as it was 2,000 or even 4,000 years ago. And God didn't just give it to annoy people or to mess up your weekend. He did it because he knows what we're like. He knew that if he didn't call for a timeout in our lives, that we wouldn't take one. You know, even trees take breaks, right? I mean, a tree can't say, hey, you know, I really should produce leaves all year round, fruit in January when it's cold and miserable. a bear doesn't choose to hibernate or not hibernate. You see, nature doesn't choose. It must take a break because that's the way it was created. Us, on the other hand, we're different. We have our freedom to choose, and that can be a problem. We can drive our bodies and minds and emotions to the breaking point. We have the power of choice, and because of that power, we're always in danger of messing ourselves up over some possibly misguided purposes. It might be to do with work. It might be to do with appearance. It might be to do with the desire to be the perfect parent. The list goes on. Even good purposes or pursuits, when proper breaks or times of rest are not adequate, things begin to break down, and results like burnout can happen. And because of this, God gave us a great gift, the Sabbath rest, which traditionally was a day set apart, traditionally called the Lord's Day, a day of rest, of worship, of relaxation, of recuperation, and joy. It's God's gift to us all, but it's up to each one of us to decide whether or not we accept that gift. Now sometimes confusion and misunderstanding and hurt feelings come up around this commandment. And so I just want to move carefully as we explore what it means to observe the Sabbath rest. Let's also clarify something else, that in the Christian church, in most cases, we don't celebrate the traditional Sabbath. The Sabbath was the last day of the week. And we see that in what we just read. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. That seventh day of the week, or the Sabbath, has historically been celebrated from sundown on Friday until sundown on Saturday. And so our Sunday, which is the first day of the week, is not the historic Sabbath. But we're Christians, not Jews. Most of us aren't even Christian Jews, like the early church. Now, in our Christian vocabulary, people often use the word Sabbath to refer to this day when referring to Sunday, but the two are not the same. Interestingly, when it comes to the New Testament, the fourth commandment isn't clearly repeated by Jesus or taught in word by his disciples. However, the New Testament certainly reinforces the principle behind this command. Jesus even, he pulls his disciples aside for a time of rest. In Mark 6, we read this, "Then because so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat, he said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.'" Get some rest. You know, I think Jesus could have gone, you know, like, whatever he does, and they would have been fine. You know, maybe he could have done something to them that gave them that ability to just carry on in spite of it, that they wouldn't have needed the rest. I mean, he was God, right? But he didn't. He said, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." As well, in the New Testament, we see the disciples and the Apostle Paul observing the Sabbath many times. But if the letter of the law, the seventh day Sabbath, isn't directly applicable to us today, certainly the principle of the Sabbath still is. Because it is grounded in the nature of God, in the nature of people, in the nature of creation. The principle is that a specific and proportionate amount of time be set aside for worship and for rest. And this didn't just first show up in the book of Exodus. Back in the book of Genesis, which tells us how God himself rested after 6 days of creative labor, we read that. And even before the commandments were given earlier in the book of Exodus, when God provided manna, there's a story where God provided manna from heaven. The people would wake up in the morning and there would be this manna. I guess the closest thing is like a bread, and they would collect it up, and God had provided for them. And so that was happening each day, and it happened for a long time. But it says, here was the instruction. God told them to gather a double portion on the sixth day so that they would not have to collect it on the seventh day, a day that they would rest from that labor. There's the idea of that Sabbath rest again. Christians in the New Testament soon set aside the literal seventh day Sabbath, but kept the Sabbath day principle. Instead of keeping the last day of the week, they began to keep the first day of the week, which is what we call Sunday. Why did they do that? Because it was recognized as being the day that Jesus rose from the dead, the first day of the week. In fact, in Acts chapter 20, we see this. The Apostle Paul writes, on the first day of the week, we gathered with the local believers to share in the Lord's Supper. Paul was preaching to them, and since he was leaving the next day, he kept talking until midnight. Oh, you are so lucky. I don't, like, wow, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? On the first day of the week, they got together, and they listened to a sermon and took communion. Sounds like church. But you know, it's not enough to know where the concept of the Lord's Day came from. We need to understand why the principle behind the Sabbath is still valid today. And we do that in a few places. The first one being the verses that we read. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week to do your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. So the first thing we need to discover about the Sabbath principle is that it's a day of rest. We live in a tired generation. We live in a tired time. People are chasing things and striving for things that they may never be able to catch. And some folks are willing to make too many sacrifices for it. And it's not necessarily a new thing that's happening. Again, Robert Louis Stevenson wrote over 100 years ago, "Perpetual devotion to what a person calls their business is only sustained by neglect of many other things." Perpetual devotion to what a person calls their business is only to be sustained by neglect of many other things. I'm going to take a few minutes to go over a song with you. Several of you will be familiar with a song called Cats in the Cradle. You may have heard that song. It's fairly generational. The words go like this: "My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, 'I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, 'Thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw?' I said, 'Not today. I've got a lot to do.' He said, 'That's okay.' And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed and said, 'I'm going to be like him, yeah. You know, I'm going to be like him.'" And the chorus goes, "The cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know, we'll have a good time then." Dad says, "Well, he came from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, 'Son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while?' And he shook his head and said with a smile, 'What I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. You'll see you later. Can I have them, please?' I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day, and I said, 'I'd like to see you if you don't mind.' He said, 'I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, the new job's a hassle, and the kids got the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you.' And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you coming home, son? I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. You know, we're going to have a good time then." And every generation since 1973 has many people that have heard that song and understand that they were the child, and then they grew up and realized they've become the parent. And so we became busier and busier people. You see, the rest that God commands us to take allows us to step back from the merry-go-round of life and evaluate what it is we're trying to achieve. Even from a purely physical perspective, it's been proven that people cannot go indefinitely without things starting to go wrong with their bodies, minds, and emotions. God's basically telling us in the fourth commandment, time out, take a break. But it's not just a day of rest. The next scripture would indicate that there's more to the Sabbath observance than simply staying in bed. Deuteronomy 5:15, "Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with his strong hand and powerful arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day." Huh? That's why? It's a day of reflection. It's a day of remembering. Not only does God call us to rest on a special day or at a special time that we do, he also calls us to reflect on that as well. And in this scripture, God's calling his people to remember, to reflect on how he delivered them from the slavery of Egypt. And I would suspect that it would be fair to talk about how we need to reflect on how God has made a way for us to be delivered from slavery of sin from the bondage to sin. Not only how he's made a way, but how he has delivered us that we can be free in him. And so on that day, it's good to stop and remember, to reflect on what God's done and give thanks. To perhaps meet together with God's people and celebrate his goodness. To pause and to give a little back to God of our time, of our talent, and of our treasure. Now, of course, you know, and there are generations reflected here, that throughout history, the observance of the Sabbath or of the Lord's Day has inspired two extremes. People have found ways to misuse this gift, just like they've managed to find ways to misuse other gifts that God's given us. The first extreme are those people who have historically made Sunday into a day of gloom and oppression, instead of a day of joy and gladness. This is what happened in Jesus' day. We're told that the scribes and Pharisees had counted 39 letters in the original language of the fourth commandment. Okay, they counted 39 letters. So somehow they decided to multiply that by 39 and came up with 1,521 ways that you could break the Sabbath rest. They put this bondage on people. You weren't supposed to work. So what was work? It was carry a burden. So what was a burden? And how far could you carry it before it actually became a burden? Actually, in Mark chapter 2, we read this. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. You know, but the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?" They were breaking off grains of head as they heads of grain to just nibble on as they walked by. In Mark chapter 2, we read this. Then Jesus said to them, this is important. The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people. The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. And so the Son of Man, Jesus, is Lord, even over the Sabbath. Jesus didn't have a problem with the Sabbath. He had a problem with what people had done to it. In John chapter 5, we read a story about Jesus healing a paralyzed man. Check this. John 5, instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders objected. They said to this man who was cured, "You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat." "Oh, sorry. You know, I've been paralyzed all my life," but he was carrying a mat, not moving his house. We aren't going to do the fourth commandment any favors when you turn it into something like, "You shall not enjoy life on Sunday." Many people mean well, but we cannot make people, especially children, enjoy God by forbidding them to enjoy anything else on Sunday. That kind of rigid observance of Sunday can become just as idolatrous today as it was in Jesus' day. And that's what he was warning us about. However, usually today, that strictness about a Sunday isn't our problem, is it? Our problem today is probably the opposite. Bear with me, and I'm not making not condemning, but generally in society, the Lord's Day has been taken from being a holy day and turned into just basically a holiday, or simply a day like any other. I mean, some folks have taken that passage where Jesus says that if your donkey or your ox falls into a pit on the Sabbath, it's all right to pull it out, and they've used that as an excuse for everything and anything. I mean, how often do we say, "But I had to. I had to do this on my Sabbath or on the Sunday. I had to." And therein lies the struggle. I know. Some folks say, "I don't want to. I don't have time to rest. Too busy. Can't set aside the time. It's impossible. There's too much to do and not enough time to do it in. And you don't understand. And God wouldn't expect me to stop during our busiest times." Let me just show you something here. In Exodus 34, you have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But on the seventh day, you must stop working, even during the seasons of plowing and harvest. If you are a farmer, you know that plowing and harvest are the busiest times. There is no time to stop and rest, even during the seasons of plowing and harvest. Could it actually be a matter of choice for us? Where we actually do have a choice? The last thing is that it's to be a time of refreshment. According to the Bible, God created the Sabbath. It's not just a day on which nothing happened, but God blessed it and he made it holy. He paused and reflected on what he had done. And the Bible tells us that God called the first 6 days good, but the seventh day God called holy. And it's intended as more than just a day of fun or rest. And when we slow down and rest and reflect on the goodness of God, it allows us a time of refreshing. It recharges our batteries. Listen to God's instruction about the Sabbath rest in Exodus 31. It is a permanent sign of my covenant with the people of Israel. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he stopped working and was God? God doesn't need refreshing. God needed refreshing. God, it's not lying. It's not words. It's there. He stopped working and was refreshed. Awesome. God was refreshed. And so what happens when we make the decision to follow that Sabbath principle? We can be refreshed as was God. When we pause and reflect and find refreshment, it will give us a new perspective on the rest of our days. When we pause and reflect and find refreshment, we will be able to do things we otherwise might not. We will be enabled to handle things that come along. Okay, so what can you do on Sunday? If we're calling Sunday our day of rest, what can we do on Sunday, or what should we do? This is a great question. God didn't give a list of what you're allowed to do. Jesus didn't give a list of what you can do or allowed to do on a Sunday, and so neither will I today. Rest, remember, be refreshed. Remember, it's holy. Still, someone says, but Pastor, I work on Sunday. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, me too. If it's the letter of the law, I may be breaking it. If it's the principle of the law, then I think there's room for keeping it. The thing is that we really need to, we really should. God tells us to take that time somewhere. And maybe your Sabbath rest isn't Saturday or even Sunday. But in God's economy, it should be somewhere. Because we weren't made in a way that we can ignore this and get away with it without consequences to our person or to our relationships. I'm not even going to tell you what God said to do to people who broke the Sabbath in the Old Testament. You can read it. It's in Exodus 31. It'll blow your mind. I know it's tough. I do know it's tough. But try to find that relaxing time. Just try sitting back and doing nothing. Close your eyes and take a break. Do you know what the great lie in all of this is? The great lie in all of this, in what I just said, is that I'm not being productive. But we're not being productive. Well, that's a lie. Because doing that, sitting back, finding that time where we can sit back and do nothing and closing our eyes and taking a break, is probably one of the greatest things we can do toward being productive people. Set some time apart as special. Purposefully make it special. Don't do the same things at this time or whatever that time is. It's special. For your own sake, take a break. The Sabbath was made to meet your needs, not you to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. God made that Sabbath rest for you to rest and be delighted by his gift. You can choose not to, but that'd be a bad choice. God rested, and he's asking you to honor him by doing the same thing so he can refresh you, so that you can continue to be productive, so that you don't crash. Folks, I think it's worth finding out what this means in your life and doing it. You see, God knows your heart. God knows your heart, and he will honor you as you follow him. Father, I thank you for your word that talks about Sabbath rest. You know, we see other ones like, you know, don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery. Some of those things we go like, oh yeah, well that's, I can do that. You know, I cannot do that. no problem. But then we come to something like this, which is in the same passage, the same list, and we go like, well, that one's not as important, maybe. I just don't have time to do that. I can't do that. My schedule doesn't allow me to do that. Lord, I pray that you would help us to, if that's what we're struggling with, I pray that you would help us to find some obedience to you in that somewhere, whatever it looks like, to begin to rest in you. Father, to rest, to remember and reflect on your goodness in our lives, and to be refreshed by you. Because it's important. It's important to our ongoing health. It's important to our ongoing relationships. It's important in our walk with you. And so, Father, help us in that. Whatever it looks like for each one of us, I pray that we would find that time. Thank you for your word. Lord, I know that the Bible also talks about the Sabbath rest as an ultimate rest as well. And some of our folks that we've talked about today, for Willie and Joyce, they have entered your Sabbath rest, which your word talks about, where they have rested completely in you. And so, Father, I thank you for the Sabbath rest that talks about it here for us now. And I thank you that you have promised us a Sabbath rest when we go to be with you. In Jesus' name.